I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I think it's almost a special treat that Commissioner Morgan is here with us today, as she is not feeling well, so she's got what everybody else probably has this time of year with the weather change and such. People are kind of coming down with stuff, so wish you speedy recovery. Glad you're here. We've got a pretty full or varied agenda here this morning. First item on the agenda is recognition of employees. The second item is a proclamation where we'll have Commissioner Dandy Young recite, and then we'll go into our administrative calendar. We'll review that, and before taking action, we'll take public comment, item number four, and then come back and address the administrative calendar's approval and those items, and then go into our consent and other items. So the first thing is recognition of employees. We've got four today. We've got Lori Hansen of Public Works for 30 years. It's just an amazing amount of service there, and probably most of that has been with Public Works. None of these people are here today, but they will be given their appropriate recognition through our liaisons at a later date. John McCafferty is the director of our information technology, and he's been with the county for 15 years. So really thank him for his service. Matthew Scaglione of Community Corrections for 10 years. Scott Hyde, Community Corrections for 5. So two other great people in the Community Corrections Department providing a lot of service to our community. So anything on those? We'll move into the proclamation.
Well, 30 years, that's a long time.
Isn't that a long time?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, stick through. Gilpin County probably been through three or four downturns in the economy in that time, and to stick with it, that's good. That's good service.
Yeah, it really is.
And I'll go out and I'll personally take that out to Lori.
That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be really great. Item number two is a proclamation, and Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes, before the Board of County Commissioners for Josephine County, State of Oregon, in the matter of proclaiming the month of October 2017 as Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Whereas domestic and dating violence harms survivors and deeply affect communities, yet survivors are often expected to heal in private without significant community support. And whereas community is the foundation of healing, we all have a role in strengthening our communities, acknowledging domestic violence as a widespread problem, and collectively generating support to promote safety and healing for those who experience trauma and abuse. And whereas we must call domestic and dating violence what it is, an ongoing pattern of coercion and intimate control, not a singular conflict or altercation, not a domestic dispute where parity of fault is implied. And whereas we must respond to domestic violence in ways that account for the impacts of structural racism, transphobia, ableism, poverty, homophobia, anti-immigrant bias, and other forms of oppression, the importance of culturally specific services cannot be dismissed. Singular or piecemeal interventions without meaningful resources and systems change are not sufficient. And whereas it is crucial to honor a survivor's sovereignty and self-determination rather than imposing our ideas of what should happen, trusting their assessment of situation and mobilizing services to support their goals, now therefore be it resolved that the Josephine County Board of Commissioners does hereby proclaim the month of October 2017 as Domestic Violence Awareness Month in Josephine County and calls upon its citizens to observe this month with appropriate programs and activities. Done and dated this fourth day of October 2017. And here to accept the award is Chrisanna Albrecht.
Yes, I would.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you, Commissioners Hare, Morgan, and DeYoung, for supporting your community of Josephine County and Women's Crisis Support Team to provide safety and hope to victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking. Domestic violence harms survivors and deeply affects communities, yet people are often expected to heal on their own in the privacy of a therapist or advocate's office and out of the public eye. Because we as a society don't like to witness suffering, community is a crucial element of survivor safety, healing, and self-determination, and is built on a foundation of honest acknowledgement that domestic violence is a widespread problem. Survivors need empathy and understanding from all corners in order to speak candidly about abuse and trauma. When we empower people who have survived violence, we promote healing. We are saying, you are worthy of love and respect, you are worthy of community. If we all rise to end violence, which is our campaign that Women's Crisis has adopted, you stand to support survivors of violence by letting them know, I believe you and it's not your fault. You are not alone and I am here for you. When you are ready, we will explore community resources available to you. It's important for us all to recognize domestic and sexual violence as a critical and preventable public health problem. Speak, if we all speak in ways that promote justice and equality. Interrupt sexist language, jokes, and media. Use language that holds abusers accountable and prevents victim blaming. And promote awareness and prevention of domestic and sexual violence in social settings. Act. We ask that people act. Advocate for early education of youth on the dynamics of power and control. Participate in community awareness and prevention events and activities. We ask that you all know your role and how you can help. And if we all take part in all of this, then every home will be a safe home. And I'd like to announce that this Friday we're having a walk of solidarity. We're meeting at the courthouse steps at 6:30, and Newman Methodist Church will toll the bells for each individual that's died in our county due to domestic violence. There'll be 43 bell tolls. And then from there, we're going to be walking downtown. We have our silent witness exhibit displayed in different storefronts, and so we'll be walking to each of those exhibits around town on G Street and down 6th Street. So I hope that the community will come out and join us for that.
Great.
Thank you.
Krista, can you talk a little bit about the services that are provided? You referenced those in your statement that at the appropriate time, a victim can seek those.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about what is available in Joseph
County?
Sure. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I think it's important that people have some sort of a base knowledge of understanding of what is available.
Yep. So, you know, I was thinking about this. Women's Crisis Support Team, we started as a grassroots organization back in the late 70s, early 80s, and then it was really a women-led organization, and it continues to be. But I want the community to know that even though our name is Women's Crisis Support Team, we do help men, we help partners in same-sex relationships, we help young men, we help young women. So our agency doesn't know any boundaries as far as who, you know, domestic violence, sexual assault can affect anyone. And so it's not anything age-specific, so or gender-specific, so we do help all. Our services are 24/7, so you can reach someone through the crisis line, or if the hospital or law enforcement calls, we respond after hours or during the day, weekends. We have support groups. We have a safe shelter. Our safe shelter has been active since December of 1998, and we've sheltered over 3,500 women and children during that time. Then we have support groups. We help with court activities as far as helping getting restraining orders, civil or criminal courts. We help advocate a client through the systems. We help with law enforcement. We respond to the hospital. We do a lot of things. So. Yeah. And then also in Josephine County out in Illinois Valley, there is the Illinois Valley Safe House Alliance, a sister agency that is there Monday through Friday, so to help folks out there.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Great.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Item number three is the administrative actions in consideration of 3A is approval of order number 2017-045 in the matter of uncollectible personal property taxes pursuant to ORS 311.370. This is facilitated to the board through our tax collector, Eve Arcy, and it says in the articles in the ORS that it needs to be presented to the board by the district attorney. However, our legal counsel is acting in this regard, and the total personal property taxes uncollectible is $120,802.54. The impact to the county, our share portion of that, is $8,949.96. I know that Ms. Arcy goes to extensive lengths in her office to try to track those down and find an appropriate owner to hold responsible, I suppose. However, these ones have gone on for a duration of time as far back, I believe, as 08, and quite some time, so it's incumbent upon the board to not continue to have these go on the rolls as uncollectible. There's a certain duration of time and a determination that it is uncollectible. So Eve Arcy, along with legal counsel, petitions the board to have this order and remove it from the roll. So that is the process we're doing right now. Anything else on that?
I'm going to be abstaining from this. I don't have a personal family relationship, but I was a former PO of somebody on the list, and at no time can it be deemed that somebody is receiving favors from me in my position or vice versa. So because of that professional interaction, I need to abstain from the vote.
Well, that's your prerogative, but I would assume that I know a couple of these people as well, or have had interactions.
It's different. I was the direct supervising parole officer.
I'm not going to question you. That's fine. Moving forward to item number four, which is requests and comments from citizens. You can come forward, speak on any subject you like. Please just state your name and general locale, not your specific address is not required, and you'll be given 3 minutes. Ms. Casanelli, in her orange attire for October.
Happy Halloween. I'm coming up. Hey, Sandy Casanova, Northern Oregon. Yeah, I was just primarily concerned with the uncollectible personal property tax forgiveness. An individual, it says all attempts to locate the responsible parties have failed. And some of these, it's painfully obvious who the owner is. And I'll give you, for instance, Dutch Brother Mining, $80,000 outstanding.
Doesn't say Brothers. It's not Dutch Bros.
Dutch Brothers, LLC. Dutch Mining, sorry, Dutch Mining LLC. Well, what she did, she went online to, and it took her 5 minutes to get Bruno Hollis's name as the owner and his location. He even had a Facebook page. And so, you know, for $80,000, to forgive $80,000 for McHenry, to me is, you know, I think the county should make a little bit more effort seeing how she found where they were and contact information within 5 minutes. Also, Brimstone Natural Resource Company, the partner, one of the partners is Robert Stumbo, and he comes to meetings here. It can't be that hard to go up to Armadillo. And then Talk Radio, I believe it's a former endeavor of Roy Masters. Roy Masters, he would take a walk during the break and go down to his foundation and get the person's number. Those are just three that stand out to me as I read the list, and I didn't even research the rest. So, you know, to forgive this personal property, business personal property obligations, it really stinks. I mean, especially the $80,000, is somebody wanting to buy that land and doesn't want to pay the back, you know, taxes on that. So I would, you know, ask you to please consider having somebody spend a little bit more effort to track this money down. It's a lot of money. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Yes, Ms. Adams.
Judy Adams, residents of Josephine County. I too would like to just address 3A regarding that personal property. If that's the case, what Sandy Cass and I said, and mind you, she's pretty accurate because she does a lot of research. She's just a regular, wonderful citizen who takes of her personal time, no revenue attached to that, no personal perks, and she comes up with this information. I just admire her to the max. So if it's true what she said, that there are some, with this outstanding property tax, and to locate these people, it's that simple to do. And you realize we're in such a high-tech era. I mean, we're blessed. Some of the stuff's not that great, but some of it is just outstanding. When I contact my son and ask him to something, he can find things that's unbelievable what he can find within minutes. Within minutes, Mark Aaron can just locate things. So I too would like to say, maybe if you could just table that, and with her suggestions, which I can say, she's got great suggestions, and to see that, unless there's an emergency. If there's an emergency, okay, then do your comments. I'd like to hear the emergency. But based on her suggestions, because you are always asking, what's your input? Give us ideas. Well, you're getting them this morning. Well, the challenge is, will you accept them? Will you accept these? Unless there's something else going on that we're not aware of, which may be something we should be aware of. So I would just strongly take her recommendation, a citizen from the community here, check that out, and I think you're going to come up with some fantastic, maybe revenues, money for us, because, the average person in this community makes about $35,000, so we are considered poor. This would bring in something or give you more revenue. So it's just an idea. And also back to that proclamation today, and I look at this domestic violence, so we're just going to last a few seconds of time enough. We should really, like she said in an earlier answer this morning, that Christina, is that we should reach out. Every one of us should just say who's hurting. You can check on people on the street if they're hurting. You have to look up and look at them. You have to be aware where our hearts are. Because when our hearts are in the right place, I think the domestic violence goes down. We just live in a very cold society that's very me-oriented. It's all about me. I wake up in the morning. What about me? Let's leave that like the really true Christian would do and say, what about our neighbor? What about this person's hurting? What about someone who wants to share a crazy divorce they're going through? If we really reach out and give up our time for our neighbors, everybody did that. I think this domestic violence, this whole proclamation probably go away. It maybe would turn into something insignificant because we wouldn't be home anymore. It's solvable. Just to recognize it, it's great, but to solve it, I think we can do some even more creative things. Thanks.
Anyone else, Mr. Porter?
Morning, Commissioners. Larry Ford. I live about 11 miles downstream from Grants Pass. Couple things this morning. First, and the skies are clear now. The smoke's pretty much gone. But we don't want to forget what happened this summer and what's happened in the last couple of summers. It's too bad we can't get all of our congressional delegates on both sides of the Senate and the House together in one room in our county or in Jackson County and talk about this. There are some major changes that need to be made in the way that we fight forest fires in our community. If you just look at the difference of the record between the ODA and the county and how the feds fight fire, it's pretty obvious that they're not doing it right. And the other thing is, I am on the board of directors for Two River Soil and Water Conservation District. We recently changed our name, so that's a good thing. I'd like to give kudos to Public Works. I've been working on a project out on Drone Prairie, and we had some issues or some concerns about the drainage along the road. I went in yesterday morning about 10 o'clock or so and talked to a couple of people in there, and I got an answer back from them at the house at about 3 hours later concerning the issues that the county deals with and the drainage in that area. And so it really helps us to move forward with a project for a private owner and you know, we hear a lot of bad things about, everything goes bad in the county, we hear about, we don't hear about the good things. And I think, you know, as busy as public works is, I mean, you get a response back in less than 3 hours, I think it's very admirable. And, you know, it's those kind of people that work in our county that we kind of forget about sometimes. So thanks for that, and you guys have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Collier, don't be bashful.
Morning. I know it's not on the topic, but for continuing with the cannabis, Mark Collier, Josephine County.
It's not your first rodeo.
I'm bashful. Thank
That's
you.
Okay.
Seven other dwarves could be used. As you go through this process, it seems like it's kind of going forward and waiting at the same time. And there's a fear, as I talk to growers that are responsible, and they're the only ones I know, because I don't deal with the other guys, that there's a fear that this referendum that's going out in Cape Junction and other areas is saying, no, we're already moving in this direction to get going and get on the ballot if nothing happens. So what I would, it sounds like, is that is legislation by default. If nothing happens, through either the panel or yourselves or your individual efforts to permit or to stop or to move indoors or to commercialize, if nothing happens at all, this referendum comes, this pendulum that has swung so far in one direction is going to come back the other direction and sweep everybody out, the baby with the bathwater. People are fearful of that, and rightly so. So I'm hoping and encouraging you. That's why I'm coming today with nothing on the agenda, no reason to even speak about it, to say, keep going, keep trying, keep the effort up, because as the pendulum did swing in the wrong direction with the passage of Measure 91 and everyone and their mother came in and decided they could grow in Josephine County, you got the bad with the already established. For since 1998, good people have been growing, and you've got these, since whenever you started collecting complaints, sure there's a number, but, you know, we didn't hear about it before then. So let's address it now while we can without taking that pendulum swing. There was a move, an effort, a movement to allow only Oregonians to grow in Oregon after 91 would pass, but they said, no, you can't do that because Sherman antitrust rules trumped that. I didn't think Sherman would come into play, but it says, no, antitrust law said you can't discriminate from someone from another state to come into Oregon and do what you're already doing. So that would have been the desire, the goal, to keep bad people out. We tried that, thought about it, but it didn't work. But I would encourage you to, in the direction that you're going, to keep going. Whether it's a permitting thing, like I heard the last session that was only available on the radio to me, your efforts, Mr. DeYoung, whether it's, hey, look, check your neighbors. Check the 700, 1,000 complaints. Check the totality where Julius Meltzer already says it's mostly fencing. Address those issues one by one. I don't think it's the commercialization because, as I understand it, when you go from 12 to 13 to the OLCC, it's a registration, but not doesn't made it by default commercial. So there's somewhere in there that has to be fixed. I don't know what it is, but I encourage you to keep trying, keep going. So thanks for the 3 minutes. I've got a few seconds left. I woke up this morning and I thought there was not going to be a lot of people here, and I had a recollection, and maybe you feel with me on this. I miss Dale Matthews. I miss him. Just that little piece, that little quirky piece. So shout out to Dale.
Anyone else? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. Ms. Casinelli and Ms. Aarons, reiterating what Ms. Casinelli said about the uncollectible personal property tax, that's brought to us as a recommendation from our tax collector, and she expends all available resources in order to follow up on those. A lot of the cases is not the fact that there isn't, there may not be the asset there anymore. She has probably made contact with some of those people that the asset doesn't exist anymore, and it hasn't existed for quite some time, and it shouldn't have been on the rolls in the first place. That is a situation that I'm aware of in the past. The specifics of each of these requests here today, I don't have the details on, but I do trust this elected official and our legal counsel to have reviewed this thoroughly and presented us with the most concise list of things that are no longer needed to be pursued, and I'm going to endorse the idea of moving it forward, as I have done probably 7 times so far, and I think when you were in office, you did the same thing. I won't speak for you or your record, but it's a fairly routine element that we do. There's about $7 billion worth of taxable assets in Josephine County, and what we're talking about here is about $120,000 of taxable assets, and it's not something that she hasn't pursued. but really it's a cost-benefit analysis of her pursuing the 43,000 other taxing elements, tax lots and those things. The tax bills are getting ready to go out. There's 43,000 of those in Josephine County. It's always ironic that it roughly reflects the number of voters, but those numbers are pretty similar. And that's a lot of work to pursue all of those things. None of our other taxing districts, you can see that the majority of the resources or the revenue associated with this, $120,000, most of that goes out the door as soon as it comes in. So we're not paid to pursue that on everybody else's, all those other 13 taxing districts' pursuit. And so I think she's done the analysis that we are where we are, and any further use of resources to do so would not be cost benefit in her best interest. So, Mr. DeYoung, Commissioner.
Yeah, I just hope everybody doesn't get confused when it says business personal property tax. Don't get confused if this is this similar to the statement you get for property tax, you know, per se, for actually hard ground. These are assets, and these are equipment and things that are used in running your day-to-day business. For instance, in my air conditioning business, it would have been the computers and the sheet metal brake, the forklift, and things that I used in my day-to-day as an asset and part of my business. But in some of these cases, in fact, I think we questioned it at the workshop, that there isn't anything left in some of these companies as far as personal assets. They're gone. And this is not the property, as you get a property tax bill. This is personal property, which is machines and things that you use in the day-to-day operation of your business. So, you know, we can't, you know, on property tax, we wait a certain amount of years, and then you can basically foreclose on the property, the actual hard ground or any structures are on there. But this is altogether different. This is business personal property tax, which is machinery and things you use in the day-to-day operation of your business in selling a product to the public.
Great. Mr. Collier, before you leave, we checked in with the clerks. We can't really back and forth, and you know that. I checked in with the clerk this morning, and she has not received any formal referendums on any subject. So we've heard discussions as well. I think you alluded to that, something circulating around Cave Junction area or what have you in Josephine County. Nothing formal has been filed so far, but I do agree, and I appreciate you coming in. It's certainly not an issue we're just going to put on the back burner. We asked a question in May that really was just as a bookend and a guidance element. If we were simply going to refer that kind of a proposal, we wouldn't need to ask a non-binding question to the issue. We would have just referred that proposal of an outright prohibition on RR to the voters. That's the simple thing to do, and I don't think that's what we're paid to do. We're paid to find the sweet spot of where this industry is here in Josephine County, and there are RRs where it makes sense, and then there are residential zones and establishments that doesn't make sense, and trying to figure out how that can work out in a timely fashion so that people have some understanding of where the rules are going to be for next growing season. That's our charge. That's what we're supposed to be doing right now. So we're working on it. I think we're going to readdress the issue this Thursday. You know, people have asked about when are we going to talk about this next. We're constantly talking about it. We're talking about it right now, but we're not noticing it. A noticed element will be the first reading or a review of the first reading and setting the second reading, and all of that will be published and people will be noticed in order for us to move forward. There'll be ample opportunity for people to continue to comment. I receive emails, I think, like the rest of the board on a daily basis. So, yes, Commissioner Morgan.
I wanted to bring up the Commerce Act that you mentioned, the Sherman Act. Colorado, when they legalized cannabis, did not allow out-of-state residents. And because, as it is federally illegal, no constitutional extension was offered. And so, therefore, they were able to successfully prohibit out-of-state business owners for the first couple years, allowed people to get established. They have since rescinded that and have allowed it, but Colorado successfully did that. Our Oregon legislature did not.
Anything else? We'll move on to actions of the administrative calendar. So item 3A, I'd entertain a motion to approve order number 2017-045 in the matter of uncollectible personal property taxes pursuant to ORS 311.370.
So moved.
I'll second that. Any further discussion? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Yes.
Abstain.
Yes. Motion carries 2-1. Item number 5 is the consent calendar made up of item A, which is various minutes of the Board of Commissioners. Item B is 2017-2018 sorority membership dues. As a liaison to community development, Ms. Schmelzer is not here this morning and wasn't invited to be so. This is a routine, fairly routine membership dues that we pay. It's a fairly nominal fee. We are the charter organization with Jackson County to facilitate this organization, Sorority Southern Oregon Regional Economic Development Incorporated, and they provide a various amount of services on behalf of the county for geared towards economic development, and this is paying our membership dues for the next year. So item number C is order number 2017-046 in the matter of the transfer of county real property not in use for county purposes to the city of Grants Pass, Oregon, and quitclaim deed. Mr. Brandis, Public Works Director, is here to speak on this issue.
Good morning, Commissioners. As you stated, this is a strip of property on Elmer Nelson Way, which is in the southwest part of town, just north of Highway 199. The piece in question is about 300 feet long by 50 feet wide, and we've had a request for a while from a private citizen who is interested in a piece of that. However, since Elmer Nelson is a city street, we felt it best to transfer that piece in its entirety and then let them work with the city to obtain the piece that he wanted. To follow up on Commissioner Morgan's question last Thursday, we have checked with the city. Their intent would be yes at no cost to Mr. Hecker, the only consideration being that they would want that piece that he's interested in to go with the adjoining tax lot, so we're not creating a separate tax lot, which is fairly standard practice. So County Public Works endorses this, and it just gets it cleaned up out there while allowing the city to maintain the right-of-way for Elmer Nelson.
Okay, anything else on that item? While you're there, Mr. Brandis, would you mind speaking on order number 2017-047, item number 5D, in the matter of mitigating slide damage on Waters Creek Road at milepost 1.2 to 1.23, approving temporary closure of roadway during repairs, report and recommendation for the temporary road closure of Waters Creek Road slide repair.
Waters Creek has sustained some substantial damage in the January storms. This would be to mitigate that slide by digging into the uphill side, if you will, of the road. Easements have been acquired to get the piece of property necessary. At this point, the bids are out. They're due in next Friday, the 13th. We'll open them at that point. Then it gets into the scheduling with the contractor, and they have their availability. If I was a betting man, week of the 23rd to the 27th, potentially, maybe more likely October 30th to November 3rd or 4th, I guess it would be. But at that point, I think we're still in good shape. There's, you know, there could be some rain potentially, but we're not going to have any impacts from the creek side of it. So as soon as we get bids in, we'll work with the contractor to make that happen as quickly as possible. It's not a full-day closure. It's basically during the business day with that noon to 1 hour being open as well. So it's effectively 2 4-hour closures a day.
How many people live above that?
I don't have a hard count.
20 homes?
Less than 20, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Anything else on that? Thank you, Mr. Brandis. Item number E is order number 2017-048 in the matter of changing the name of the Josephine County Cannabis Advisory Committee to the Josephine County Cannabis Advisory Panel and adopting bylaws for the Cannabis Advisory Panel. Commissioner Morgan?
Through the process of establishing this advisory committee, the Cannabis Advisory Committee, we had an acronym conflict with Citizens Advisory Council that is a planning thing, so we've made some recommendations of a name change. So this captures that their name will now be changed to the Josephine County Cannabis Advisory Panel, and the bylaws, as the board has reviewed, are attached to basically give the authorization and purpose of the panel.
Great. Anything else on that one?
Yeah.
Item number 5F is resolution 2017-046 in the matter of an appointment to the Illinois Valley Airport Advisory Board. Commissioner Morgan.
We currently have four openings, and this will fill three of those openings for four-year terms, John Pappas, Aaron Beckard, and Cedric Shiver. And Mr. Beckard and Pappas fill specific roles, and the one that is still, I believe, outstanding would be a Chamber of Commerce member for the Illinois Valley. So if there's any Illinois Valley Chamber of Commerce folks interested in being a part of the Airport Advisory, we'd love to receive your applications. All three of these applicants receive full support by liaison and department.
Great. Anything else on this? Otherwise, I'd entertain a motion to approve the consent calendar items 5A through F.
So moved.
Seconded.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Great. It would be good to get that road fixed and passable for people. Unfortunately, there isn't the ability to have people able to use that road for the duration of the road closure, so it, short and sweet, would be really, really great. So, nothing further. Please call the roll.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. Item number 6. Any other items that should properly come before the board at this time? Otherwise, we'll go on to item number 7. Matters from commissioners. Commissioner Dion.
Oh, I'm looking good today.
Great. Commissioner Morgan, you're still with us.
I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, appreciate you being here. I have one item. Today, about a couple of hours ago, Chairman of the Energy and Commerce Committee, Congressman Walden from the 2nd District in Oregon, pretty powerful position, 60-70% of all federal legislation in the House passes through. If it doesn't originate, it just passes through the Energy and Commerce Committee. And this morning there was a hearing on after action and smoke due to catastrophic wildfire, mostly in the West. And so I didn't get a chance to tune into that, but it is recorded. It's on energycommerce.house.gov. And so I encourage you to kind of tune in. It goes to the point that Mr. Ford was making this morning, that I don't think that we're going to forget about this one. I know that the board is considering issuing some letters and having a further discussion about ways we can influence the direction and the management scheme locally. It feels like we're sometimes the last people to be consulted on things. The time to be consulted about it is not when there's a fire going on. It was the development of the resource management plan that happened some years ago. They're doing a new resource management plan through the Forest Service. They've just initiated that process or are starting it. They just completed the resource management plan development for the BLM, and that's an issue that we're finding ourselves litigating over. Unfortunately, I learned earlier this week that the board's petition to join in a previous piece of litigation was the original Swanson versus Salazar, and the issue with Rough and Ready being the last standing member of that group that litigated on the existing Northwest Forest Plan annual sale quantity was denied. And so we are not going to be able to be a party to that issue. However, there is a motion to reconsider previous members of that litigation who can show that they have standing and have been aggrieved by the annual sale quantity not being what the plan called for. So basically, the BLM adopts a plan. They say they're going to put up X number of board feet in each specific district every year, and they rarely achieve that. And so the mill operators have litigated on the basis that they have been negatively impacted being in that district and not being having access to the ability to bid on those potential sales because the BLM failed to put up an adequate amount of volume. So we had liked to insert ourselves in that from a standpoint to keep that piece of litigation going. It had gone through a couple iterations, had been upheld at lower courts and then appealed to higher courts, and that's when the element of standing came into question, when Rough and Ready actually went out of business, because basically that issue was the root cause. They weren't putting up enough volume in this district, and so it's kind of ironic that you can just, the legal process can take so long that a company can lose standing in an effort because of the exact thing they're litigating over. That just seems pretty ridiculous and a flaw in my stand. So I encourage you to get involved with that and check it out. So it should be interesting to hear what the chairman has to say.
Rutherford Ready was our last mill in Josephine County. Is that why we all of a sudden we don't have a dog in the fight?
One of the reasons. No, I'm not sure. I haven't read the report or the opinion of Judge Leon as to why the county wasn't given right to have standing. So
we're basically the first chip to fall in what they're all trying to avoid, I would think.
Right. It doesn't make any sense to me. And the industry was the one who was arguing for Josephine County to have an ability to intercede in that event. And somehow it didn't end up the way we had anticipated. I thought it was going to be fairly slam dunk. We had petitioned the industry 5 years ago when this initiative first started. Councillor Hicks and myself petitioned the industry to say, hey, if you need us, we are interested in becoming a part of that litigation. And we're told no, and they didn't need us. And then unforeseen events have led to the fact that they did, and we tried to get in, and it wasn't.
I think we're a prime example of what can happen.
Yeah. I don't think the system is predisposed to really hearing the issue and addressing it in the right way. It doesn't. I'm not a lawyer, and I don't pretend to be, but it sure didn't make sense to me. Well, that's all I had. For nothing else, the board is adjourned at 9:41.
There's also what the journalist Hank Muir has been looking at.